Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Radio FNZ, Mac with you, Bone with you on a Thursday edition of the Mac Attack NBA Draft Day. Kyle Bailey's on the air, not just in the clubhouse today, but also 8 to 10 tonight, giving you draft coverage. Hornets with two picks. We desperately would like a mix of a rookie and a vet. Make it two big men if you can. We got a lot to talk about today, and we will keep it going. Coming up at 9:20, sounds of the draft. What have analysts like Jay Billis, Seth Greenberg, Paul Biancardi said on this station this week about the draft, maybe some draft guys speaking in, you know, other outlets about the prospects that we're talking about. So we will let you hear from the experts and shut up a little bit in the 9:20 segment. Right now, we got to shut up a little bit, and we got an expert. He is Jerry V, ladies and gentlemen. And
he dropped for a second. We're getting him back right
here. He's coming on here. He's seconds away. Jerry V is known as a man, Boney. That was one of the original pioneers of sports talk radio in Charlotte. He was.
It paved the way for us to do whatever we do.
Whatever the hell this is. One of the original voices of Charlotte Hornets. One of the original voices of the New Orleans Hornets. Got to coach the game. So. You know why he's here as our hoops expert every week, and Jerry V is with us on draft day. V, man, how you feeling?
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you today on this big, glorious Thursday?
Tremendous work last week on filling in for me. I know that's not easy. Trust me, 4 hours is a lot with Mac, but you did a tremendous job, and I appreciate it.
Oh, I had a great time. I just hope you guys buy some new chairs in there because I'm filing a lawsuit against the station. I think I broke my back.
They are horrible, these chairs.
Jerry, don't worry about it. I asked for new chairs in 2013. They're on the way.
Holy cow. I saw one of them autographed. I mean, I'm looking there. I see Christopher Columbus autographed model chair.
Jerry, this is actually your original chair.
Oh, is it really? Yeah, I thought it sounded familiar. I saw some little sprinkling of donuts on there.
All right, V-Man, let's get into the draft. Hopefully, we have a better draft night than we did when we selected chairs around this place. What do you think? Like, is there, first of all, players in the draft? We'll get into the whole idea of trading and acquiring a veteran in a second. But just players in this draft, who strikes your eye as the best one or two guys for the Hornets?
Ooh, depends where we go. If you want to go swing... Shaedon Sharpe out of Kentucky. He didn't play this year. I keep an eye on that.
Yeah.
The Jaden Ivey guy out of Purdue, 6'4 swing, if you're going in that direction. And then the Mathurin guy out of Arizona. I like him. So those are three guys I'm intrigued because I think that's an angle the Hornets might pursue. So those two swing guys, other than the obvious big names, they intrigue me. And also the Malachi Branham guy out of Ohio State. It's another swing.
Wow. So you're going swing player.
Well, I'm looking at
more than big man.
No, I didn't say that. I'm saying they got a needed center, but there's a couple of the directions you can go. Case in point, think about this. When LaMelo Ball is on the floor, the Hornets are a top five rated offense. When LaMelo Ball comes off the floor, they're a bottom eight offense. So here's an angle you can consider. Do the Hornets with one of those picks, decide to go, well, it's going to be Mike D'Antoni is going to be the coach. Let's just say that's the case because that's where speculation is leading. Do you further enhance the backcourt with a scoring, playmaking, dynamic-type guy to help couple or offset when LaMelo Ball is not on the bench to maintain your offensive pace to fit D'Antonio's philosophy? They need a middle guy. That obviously needs to be addressed. But there's so many paths that this Hornet organization can go to. How about this one? I think they're going to trade one of the picks, and it would not, if I'm going to sit there and watch the draft, and they announce the Hornets trade picks 13 and 15 to try to move up to get someone, or to sweeten the package to get someone to take the one of the greatest mistakes this organization has made under the watch of Jordan and Kupchak, get someone to take Gordon's contract. So, you know, what are you going to do? You got to sweeten it, you know, and Indiana and San Antonio, they have some cap room. Detroit, rumored to get, wanting to go after restricted free agent and Bridges. So what are you going to do? You know, that Gordon contract, which the three of us discussed, and I said was a big mistake, you're going to be able to shed that. Well, sweeten it a little bit. So you either trade a pick, trade them both to move Gordon, re-sign Bridges, try to trade up. This organization can go in a variety of directions. You need a center. You need a wing defender and a scoring-type playmaker. So they got options. I want to see how creative they're going to be because, remember, they want to win now. They want to win now. You got people looking at this and going, oh, don't sign Bridges. He's not a max guy, whatever. Most of those guys are evaluating this from afar, and they're not considering what are the current circumstances your franchise is existing under right now, and what is their mindset? They want to win now.
Yeah.
At least they better be thinking that.
Jerry, you're talking about sweetening deals, and I think they may have to get someone to take on Hayward that you're talking about, add a little more. What do you think the future is with the two picks tonight, trying to move Hayward, trying to get a big? What do you think the future is of Bouknight and Kai Jones on this roster?
I don't know. See, there's another route. I'm glad you asked that question. What if they're deciding, you know, because they're not sold on their veteran rotation players. You know, they're P.J. Washington, that name's being mentioned on the phone. They're making all kinds of phone calls to see what the interest level is in their veteran bench players. Remember, this is a 43-win team. So how much do they want to invest in a 43-win team? So your question, do they say, you know what? We have to find time for Bouknight and Kai. We have to find time for them, so that could determine what direction they think they need or don't need in the draft. You got to find time for those guys to discover what they're all about. Critical summers for them, but that's part of the strategy. That's a great question. And that might go into their thinking if they think these two guys will blossom for them with more minutes.
Yeah, Bouknight, definitely. I need Bouknight in a regular off-the-bench scoring role.
And, Jerry, if it's D'Antoni and you say you drafted two guys tonight and you had the two guys last year, D'Antoni's a guy that relies on vets. You'd have four guys there that you're trying to develop. That doesn't feel like that's appealing to a guy like D'Antoni, right?
No, really. No, that's another excellent point. Boy, you're on a roll this morning. Did you drink some of that coffee I left you? That exquisite Cubano coffee?
I had a week off in Tuscany.
And you're re-energized, baby. I'm so proud of you. I'd give you a man hug right now.
I would enjoy that, actually.
maybe I will, too. I just got goosebumps. D'Antoni's thinking if he's going to be the guy, that could alter the direction that you go. And I want to see what Bouknight is all about. And I want to see what both of those guys is all about. You got to create minutes for them. So that's why they're looking to move and include some of their veteran players in possibly trades. Mitch Kupchak is probably very, very busy.
No doubt. Oh, man. And then between the draft and free agency starting next week and the dang coaching search, it won't end. And V-Man, I got to get your two cents on this coaching search situation, because last week we had it out over Kenny Atkinson. And now we find out we all wasted our breath for a week because Kenny Atkinson bailed on this job. How do you feel right now about the Hornets coaching situation? Like, does it leave you ticked off what Atkinson did? Are you worried about who the hire might be? Is it a problem we don't have a coach on draft day? What do you think about all this?
I'm not going to panic, and I don't think the Hornets need to rush. I think the roster needs to be addressed with the best talent you can acquire. They need to get rid of that Gordon contract. They need to address the needs at the center position and that swing, and they have various paths to go. I'm not going to panic. I'm not going to do that. I prioritize. My pick is Stotts. They go with Mike D'Antoni. I got to live with that style. And just keeping in mind that this Hornet defense was in the bottom third in the league at four consecutive years, the bottom three in the past 2 years on how that will be addressed. So Atkinson stays. I live with that. I can't fret and waste my energy. One man's mistake is another man's glory. I explained to a guy last night, if you went after the biggest dream job you wanted in talk radio, let's say, somebody, you go after it and they tell you, you know what, you're number two. The top guy turns it down. They call you back. You going to say no? You know, fans are reacting to this thing. Ah, who wants it? Yeah. One man's mistake is another man's glory. Maybe the guy you bring in, they address the roster needs, you have a go at it.
It's a good
the
point.
Atkinson situation, yeah, the Atkinson situation was one where I understand it was dealing with assistant coaches because some of the assistants of the Hornets have guaranteed money for another year. There was some salary discussion, responsibility discussion, and he decides to stay with the NBA champ. Okay, fine, bless him. Move on. Don't fret. Take care of your business and address your roster needs. I want to see what they do. I'm very intrigued by this draft tonight. Very intrigued.
Awesome. It's going to be fun. All right, before we let you go, V-Man, let's bring back your alter ego that we introduced and unleashed last week. It's time for one case in Judge V's court here on the Mac Attack.
And Hold on, let me put on my white wig. Okay, go ahead.
Get that robe on. Get that robe on, too. Get that gavel out. Judge V, I want to know how you feel about this one. And I don't know if you saw the viral video last night. That was out there yesterday and last night of the kid in the parking garage in Uptown Charlotte yelling at Michael Jordan. Did you see this one?
No, I didn't, but I heard about it.
Okay, yeah, let me explain the situation. So the kid says on the video he's looking for LaMelo in this parking garage near the arena.
He's on a scooter thing.
And instead, he sees Michael Jordan getting out of his car. So his attention turns to Jordan. He's yelling over. He wants Mike to walk over and take a picture with him. And Jordan says, no, I can't take a picture with you. Of course, on Twitter, everybody on Twitter wants to criticize somebody. So some people choose to jump on MJ. How do you not go take a picture with this kid? Judge V, do you believe Michael Jordan is being fairly criticized, or is this unfair criticism in this Uptown garage? Oh, by the way, he might have been heading in to interview Mike D'Antoni face to face. Do you think he deserved criticism for waving off the kid on the picture?
First of all, I don't have the file in front of me. I need the evidence. Number one, the age of the kid. Was he a younger guy? Was he older?
Probably around early teens, maybe 13, 14.
13 or 14.
Yeah.
Was it a crowded environment? Was it a crowded environment? Were there many people around?
No, it felt like it was one-on-one.
Oh, it was just one-on-one. And Michael Jordan's body language, did he display, did he show signs of rudeness or annoyance, anything like that?
I think he was startled the garage was open and people could see him. I think he was more like, hey, shut that garage.
Well, that's the thing, too. The kid was by the front door of the garage.
Yeah.
That's one of the uptown streets is right there. So, like, what's Jordan going to do, walk over to the right there to the main road section?
I think he was a little bit perturbed that access was so easy to him there, honestly.
Yeah, well, number one, I'm going to find Michael Jordan innocent because of, one, a security issue. Number two, he might have had an appointment. And then you're right, you bring up a point that where is the location of the request for the interview? Michael Jordan, there's a lot going on. He probably had to get someplace, etc. And see, fans have to do this. Fans cannot expect that a guy, a high-profile guy, has to be easy to get to all the time. All the time. Yesterday, I had a wonderful lunch at Portofino's Italian restaurant. I was approached by a dozen people to take pictures and sign autographs. I said no, because my eggplant parmesan was just brought to the table. Am I guilty? Am I guilty for turning him down?
No,
I want to enjoy a meal.
Of course you're not.
Now, that kid could have been interviewing for the
judge. I was intimidated by a dozen people surrounding my table. Flash bulbs going off. Where'd you get that old-time camera, by the way?
This kid.
Pens in front of me and pants. What am I going to do?
Jerry, this kid could have been a guy interviewing for the job, though, for the Hornets.
Well, if that's the case, I'd have yanked him in the limo. I mean, I'd have brought him in and drive around the block.
V-Man, Judge V, V the analyst. We love all the personalities. Enjoy the draft tonight. We'll talk to you next week about it.
Move to two, maybe, a swing and a center. I can't wait till our next conversation. Are we all going to frown, or are we going to have moments of joy?
We will find out. V-Man, you rock. There you go. V-Man, a lot of talk about swinging, baby, from the V-Man. Yeah, baby.
Feels like he's experiencing that world of swinging on draft night. When we come back, sounds of the draft. What are prominent analysts saying about the Hornets tonight and the prospects? It's Mac and Bone on Sports Radio 92.7 FNZ.
Sports Radio FNZ, Mac and Bone, hour four on a fired up NBA draft night. Yeah, we don't have a coach. Don't let that get you down. Don't let that get you down today. Mitch Kupchak says, I got this. And the Hornets have picks 13 to 15. And there's intrigue. I will say that. Like the possibility of getting a veteran, the Miles Turner trade rumors, the rumors that the Hornets could use a pick as a sweetener, Bone, to unload Hayward and that contract. Like there's more intrigue in this draft because there's different options. I have my heart set on some sort of veteran move, veteran big, bye-bye Hayward move. Like, you know what I mean? If it's just a straight draft, and I think this is
bye-bye curse.
I think this is what you're saying last hour. If it's just two draft picks, it's going to kind of feel like that was just kind of ordinary. You know,
I didn't mean I don't like Eason or think he's got value. I just meant for my excitement level, if it's just straight up two players that are could be good at 13 and 15 as opposed, I mean, if it's a certain combo that we talked about 13 and 15, there's one that can really make a lot of sense. Sohan and Williams. But if it's just like, you know, AJ Griffin and Eason or something like that, it's kind of like, yeah, they might be all right, but it doesn't really have me, you know, pumping my fists here.
That's what I'm saying. I think people would be disappointed if we don't get a veteran, get rid of Gordon. Like if we don't do something other than just draft rookies tonight.
Someone says MJ thought that kid was Ish Smith stopping by to say hello.
Same size, same height, I think.
Get him out of here.
I don't know. Listen, I know some people are still giving Michael a hard time about it or whatever. His life, you have to try to imagine his life. One kid yells, Michael, can I take a picture? So what's Michael supposed to do, walk over to him? They're right by the street there outside that garage. Then who comes over? Like, I feel like if Mike takes one picture, it could lead to 48 pictures. You know what I mean? Like, I have to imagine if he stops for one person with how big of a figure he is, that 2 hours of his life could be over there. You know what I mean? It's not like when Bone and I meet an adoring fan and we're pretty sure we ain't going to meet another one for at least a couple of days.
Well, did I tell you what happened on my week off, Mac? There was an Amazon driver when I was walking Mabel that asked for directions. It happens a lot, right? Hey, do you know where this apartment is or this place? I started talking. He said, Bone? I said, oh, hey, what's going on? And he says, first thing he says, what's up with that sushi ranch stuff, man? I said, hey, just keep driving. I gave wrong directions. I said, keep driving.
People turned on you over that one.
Those are the things that I get.
Turned on you on that one. All right.
And you know what? They're jealous I created the whole thing.
Let's do some sounds in a draft, all right? Let's let you hear from three analysts from ESPN that were all on the station yesterday. Let's hear some of their opinions on what the Hornets should do on these prospects. We'll start with Seth Greenberg, who joined us in this hour yesterday at 9 o'clock. And I really want to know what people think about the difference between Mark Williams out of Duke and the other, you know, top big in the draft, Jalen Duren out of Memphis. Greenberg leans Mark Williams.
I would take Mark Williams. Jalen Duren is more of a project. He's raw offensively, to say the least. I think he probably he can rebound the basketball. I don't think he's as competitive. I'm not sure he runs the floor well. But I would take Mark Williams over Jalen Duren.
So he goes Mark Williams. I saw Jeff Goodman explain it, I think, in a good way. He says that Duren has bigger upside. And I don't know if I'd dispute that. He's fluid. He's more fluid than Mark Williams.
But like that scouting director said for 24/7, there's a Bam Adebayo skill set in dribbling and passing, and eventually he can maybe get there. But if you're looking for the right now guy, it's going to be Mark Williams.
And the question is, with the Hornets, do we have enough upside? You know what I mean? We got Kai Jones. That dude's raw as all get out. You know,
as one prominent guy said, he's as raw as sushi.
6'11" piece of sushi, man. I didn't want to repeat my own stupid line.
One of the dumber lines I can't forget.
I love that line, but it's stupid. All right. Anyway, Paul Biancardi, ESPN college basketball and recruiting guru, was on with KB yesterday, and he was talking about what we have dubbed, Bone, the dream tandem of large human beings. All right. Mark Williams, and Miles Turner. What if we could get a vet big tonight by trading one of the picks and get the young buck in Mark Williams to help our defense inside? And B and Cardi talked about both those big men.
I would love to see the Hornets get Mark Williams to fill that void. But when you look at the roster, it's still a young team. And if they want to get past that play-in game, which I thought James Borrego did a phenomenal job of nurturing and building the Charlotte Hornets franchise. It doesn't happen in 1 or 2 years all the time. Sometimes it takes year 4 or 5 to break out. I think he's got him right to the cusp. You may need a proven guy in the middle. A lot of talk about Miles Turner possibly, and that would be a phenomenal get if Mitch could pull that off.
Keep in mind, Mac, if it is Mike D'Antoni, and again, we think that's where it's going to go. This process, we don't know. We'll find out probably some report here soon, either direction. But we talked about Mike D'Antoni's defense being better than maybe thought of, especially in Houston. And Jeff Pizdelic did a great job as the DC for that defense, but he also had Clint Capela there as well. Yeah. And is Mark Williams or Duren or one of these guys, could they be his Capela type? Because that really helped them out in Houston.
Yeah, it's a great comparison. It really is, no doubt about it. And again, they were right around average. 1 year they were 6th defense efficiency in Houston, but their average was around 13th. If you have the Mike D'Antoni
with James Harden out there.
Exactly. If you have the 13th best defense in the league, Bones, compared to 22nd like we had last year, and this offense goes from 8th to what I think would be with D'Antoni, top 3, I think you got a basketball team that can advance in the playoffs then. I really do.
I agree.
All right, so we also talked to Jay Billish yesterday on the show. Couple of clips from Jay talking about trade possibilities with the Hornets, because obviously with the 2 picks, most people seem to think there'll be at least 1 trade. The first thing he got into, Bone, is this you know, rumor from multiple sources that the Hornets have an eye on Shaedon Sharp. He even worked out for him, even though he's projected to go top 7 or so. He is the former number 1 recruit kid that sat out Kentucky last year, but he's an athletic yet good perimeter shooter at shooting guard out of Kentucky. And Jay Billis said, you could package both picks, but you're going to have to make a pretty sizable jump.
But his ceiling, it's one of those things, his ceiling is really, really high. And so if any team, Hornets included, decide to trade up, you better trade up to, to 6.
Yeah.
Because he may be gone at 6. Who knows? Like,
he also said next year that Shaedon Sharpe-Bone, if he just played played this year at Kentucky, came out next year, he feels like he would be the number 1 pick in the 2023 draft. So if you can use 13 and 15 to get a guy who next year would have gone 20, I'm kind of anti upside for the most part in this draft because we've done so much upside stuff and future stuff. We need to pounce now, but Shaedon Sharpe is the one exception. He literally has star potential, I believe, right?
That is true. I started thinking, though, about something Jerry V said, because he brought up a name that we've not mentioned one time. But when you start to think about how many assets the Hornets do have, when you factor in the 2 draft picks last year, the 2 this year, Rozier, PJ, Hayward, all these guys that could be on the table. When I see Memphis rumored to want number 4, when I see Atlanta want number 4, because they're all trying to covet Jaden Ivey because he doesn't want to play in Sacramento. They have guards. It's not a perfect fit. What can we package to get all the way up to 4 and pair Jaden Ivey with LaMelo Ball for the next
decade?
I would
love that, too. We
have a lot of things we can do here.
I think if Jaden Ivey was the best player out of this draft, it wouldn't shock me.
There's a good Russell.
He is that freaking athletically freakish.
There's a good Russell Westbrook to him.
Yeah, the Dwayne Wade, there's a little bit there, too, at 6'4".
We got a lot of pieces we can move, Mac. If Memphis is trying to do it, Atlanta's trying to do it, Sacramento's willing, shouldn't we make calls? How much would it take and all those guys that we have?
Well, now I'm really going to discourage you. One of the ESPN guys reported the other day that Charlotte is one of only 2 teams that drafts in the lottery after Sacramento that has not called Sacramento about 4. Literally, only 2 from 5 to 14. There's only 2 of us, and we're not on that list.
Well, it was Kenny Atkinson's call.
All right, last one. Let's let you hear this last one, Bone.
Thanks, Mac, for that good moment there.
Jay Bill is talking about, should we look to trade one of the picks away and make sure we add a veteran?
You know, anytime you're talking about a trade, the question is, what are you going to get? And if you can get a really good veteran or get a higher draft pick, if you can package some things together, great. But there's value there at both 13 and 15, and it just sort of depends on how you want to look at it. If you want immediate help, maybe that's not the way to get it. But if you are looking more long term, which I think you have to in the draft, that's my view of it. You can make some good selections there.
So I don't know. Again, I think that's ideal. One rookie, one veteran, and maybe when you get that veteran, you can get the other team to take Gordon Hayward and call it a night. That would be amazing.
Mac, there's more scenarios tonight where you feel like we're going to come in relatively happy one way or the other. To me, if you rank the good and the bad, there's so many good things they can do. It would take something a little bit odd, in my opinion, for us to come in like on an angry level.
Man, tonight. I hope you're right. I hope you're right.
I feel like they can get better tonight. I don't think they can really not get better tonight. That's just how I'm viewing it right now.
Let's hope. Don't is that a challenge to the Hornets?
Also, find a coach.
You cannot draft a coach. About 10 people have asked.
By the way,
can't do it.
I say this sarcastically, but right now, Hornets coaching search day 497. It's getting to that point where those numbers are becoming accurate. Mac, when we come back, it's the wrap-up. Mad Dog Russo, radio legend, now becoming a First Take legend as well. You guys know him. He had a pop culture take yesterday that you have to hear to believe. Who in the pop culture world did Mad Dog go after yesterday? Mac Bone, Sports Radio, 92.7 FNZ.
He's like a 6'11" piece of sushi.
This led to a multifaceted investigation, months long, thousands of dollars spent. Where the GOAT, Mr. California Cool, the real Slim Brady, the master of the tuck, the Lord of the Rings, Tom Terrific. Tom Brady was suspended by the league.
That was a moment of grandstanding there, ladies and gentlemen, from one Pat Fallon, representative from the great state of Texas in their 4th congressional district. That was how he opened his question about Deflategate to Roger Goodell. I don't understand why Dave Portnoy or Deflategate mattered while Roger Goodell was testifying about the atrocity that is the Washington Commanders franchise. But there you go. Boney.
The first time of Fallon's made me laugh in a while, so I'm glad it happened.
Wow. Dang! Bone going
Come
after Jimmy.
Come on, man.
Used
to be a big fan, but he's kind of worn on me over the years. Wow. I'm not as big a Jimmy Fallon fan as I once was.
Late night television in general is just...
I longed for the days of the Leno and Letterman rivalry.
You know what's sad, though? I couldn't tell if that was a noise you were making or that was just Mac. I didn't know what that was.
I thought that may have been Fitty from the bathroom.
I want the record to show that was not me.
It sounded like one of Mac's lean-in launches.
I'm coming up. All right, stop that. All right, coming up in the world of sports today and tonight, obviously the NBA draft. And again, KB, Kyle Bailey's got a show for you tonight from 8 to 10. We'll have the first round picks on, whatever it is, tomorrow on the show. I think KB's going to have Mitch on the show tomorrow, so we're going to have you covered the rest of the day, tonight and tomorrow, with the NBA draft.
What show Hornets. Is the coach going to be on?
Willie P has a sit-down exclusive with the unnamed coach tomorrow on the show. Let's see what else we have. Today, 12:20 start, Braves and Giants. Because the Braves pulled victory out of the jaws of defeat last night, came back from 3-1 down in the ninth, walk-off hit by Duvall. They now have a chance to get 3 out of 4 over the Giants. That would be huge. Freddie Freeman visits Atlanta for the first time as a Dodger tomorrow night.
A flounder, as a guy that loves you, a friend of yours, when you're driving home today, just don't look in the rearview mirror back there, all right? Just don't look in the rearview mirror because you might see the Atlanta wagon getting closer and closer to your Mets vehicle.
I'm going to see Max's stupid face driving
closing
that thing, too.
In, baby. 17 of 20 for the Braves.
This baseball world right now, the Braves are hot for Mac. His guy, Austin Hayes, hit for the psycho last night. Don't look now. Orioles getting better.
Orioles Mac, Braves Mac, feeling good, man. I'm going to have myself a summer.
Potential World Series?
I got to be honest, I'm not sure one of the All-Star teams could beat the Yankees at this point. I just conceded the Yankees are in the World Series.
Don't
yes.
do that.
You hate them. Yankees are locked for the World Series.
You hate them. All right. They are a very special team, but I don't need you getting near them.
Are they Mac Curse defeating special? We're going to find out. All right. By the way, definitely want to send some love to Bruton Smith's friends and family, folks that work for him up at the Speedway. They're listening today. We had Doug Rice on the show today from PRN. He worked under Bruton up there at Speedway for years. And if you missed the interview, you got to go back and check it out on the podcast later. Bruton Smith passed away at the age of 95. I mean, served the country and then proceeded, Bone, to become just unbelievable in the world of business, become a NASCAR Hall of Famer, one of the most influential figures in the history of racing and motorsports. And then, oh, by the way, all the work he did for charities here in the Carolinas, including the Speedway Children's Charity. So Doug Rice saluted him beautifully today on the show.
Four-time Hall of Famer, three times in racing, once in business, a paratrooper in the Korean War. And, Mac, I know the world and the money increases over time, but when he purchased and did all the Speedway stuff initially, it was like $1 million or something, like $1.8 million, whatever it was. He ends up eventually making the Forbes billionaire list.
Yeah.
So he took it from $1 million investment because his brother-in-law was wealthy, helped him buy it. It wasn't a guy that grew up with a lot of money. He kind of grew into this, got a brother-in-law that had money.
One of nine kids.
Yeah, went from $1 million purchase to eventually being on the Forbes billionaire list.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Humble beginnings to what he became. And I love the way he went after the France family, went after NASCAR, man. Like, I just – and Doug Rice told us, oh, he relished that. He relished kind of being the – maverick, you know, for lack of a better term. By the way, also shout out to the great Tony Siragusa, thinking his friends and family. The 2000 Ravens were one of my favorite teams. For people who don't know, I was a Ravens fan before I became kind of Panthers and Ravens, and then I just eventually got to the point where I'm just, you know, only Panthers. But
how's that working out for you?
The 2000 team. Shut up. What? The 2000 Ravens are one of my favorite ever. Tony Siragusa was a leader and a total character, man.
He was
unbelievable.
Hilarious. He was. I believe a 30 for 30 is coming out on them at some point about that Ravens team. Our experience with Tony Siragusa, J.R. Gump, former producer, we used to do a thing called Hotel Tag with guests. And, you know, it sounds shadier than it is, but if you found out a guest was in town or if you wanted a guest on back in the pre-texting days, you may have to call a hotel and ask for a name, and they may connect you to a room. So one time, J.R. Gump was the guy that would do the tough ones. So he called looking for Tony Siragusa, and he said, "I'm sleeping. Don't you ever call me again." However,
that went well.
Fitting enough, 1 week later, an email came down from a PR staff that said, "Tony Siragusa is available to promote his TV show for interviews." He came on exactly 1 week
from
when we told him.
It was meant to be. It was meant to be us and the goose.
It couldn't have been nicer about it. Amazing.
So how about this? Bruton Smith's a maverick. And Tony Siragusa was nicknamed Goose.
How about
Goose? Goose and a Maverick.
Wow, that's incredible.
Rest in peace to those guys, man. Yep. And best to their family, especially those listening and friends of the Smith family, man. We're thinking it, y'all. We really are. All right, let's get to some of the Garage Door Guru texts that are coming in. 704-570-9610. Oh. Somebody says about the Hornets draft tonight, "I hope there's not a big, goofy, tall white guy available for the Hornets tonight."
Let me introduce you to Walker Kessler, ladies and gentlemen.
He's got UNC ties. Don't do it, Michael. Don't do it.
There's also Nikola Jovic in this draft, right? Not Jokic, but there's a same first name. It's one letter off, right? Do we end up with Jovic?
It's unbelievable.
Jovic?
What if the Hornets get confused and think they can get Jokic, but it's Jovic? Oh, that's not good.
Or it's his brother?
That's not good. All right.
Although his brothers are his brothers, Mag, we know them. They're enforcers.
By the way, Fitty Marlowe, a.k.a. Itty Bitty Fitty from the Midday Show with our guy Nick Wilson, and this week with Willie P, says, "Jerry V talking basketball makes him even more irrationally horny than he already is." There you go, V-Man. Are you proud of that?
His poor cousin.
Let's see here. If y'all want to gamble,
what?
This is when we were lamenting the fact that the legal online sports betting bill failed in the state of North Carolina. So it's not going to happen for at least another year. And this guy says, "If y'all want to gamble, hit up my man Pookie off Beatty's Ford Road." I think I may do that. Do you have a number for Mr. Pookie, sir? Let's see. Montrez missed the playoffs for the first time, y'all. Let him have a smoke. He was having all the smokes, though. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that wasn't
3 pounds.
That wasn't a casual evening.
Let's see. I just want to make it clear. My opposition to re-signing Trez is not about the weed.
Not at all.
Like, I'm not deterred by weed, especially when it comes to these to young athletes. It's just it's the lifestyle they live. 3 pounds does seem like an abundance, but I think he just brought the whole party set for everybody. But I just don't think basketball-wise it's a good idea.
If we sit here opposed to athletes or young people at all smoking weed in 2022, we're going to have a very thin...
We'll be supporting three athletes, I believe. Let's see here.
I bet your Mag was something on the Babaj back in his day, though. Huh?
How about... No, very very little smoking in my past.
Really?
I was a lot of drinking in my past, Phony. I know you're shocked by that. Anuj says, it's Charlotte sports franchise. Do we really expect things to go our way tonight? He does not think our optimism, Bone, is rational.
This is where you come. You're home for optimal, rational takes. It's the Mac Attack.
It's Charlotte sports paranoia. I feel you, brother. I feel you.
People are mad about Flounder's joke that went over our heads that we ignored.
What was that?
Is the guy's name Joe Vitch? That's what he tried to tell us a minute ago.
Joe Vitch.
Is that Joe Vitch?
Joseph Vitch. All right. Do you see the guy? How about the guy coming after Flounder earlier today? Said, I had Flounder for dinner last night. I can have it for lunch.
He got offended by my multiple jokes and calling him a dumbass. So I will change it up for you, sir. You, sir, are a jackass. How about that? Does that offend you?
I say ass wagon.
All right, we got to get out of here, y'all. Remember, Kyle Bailey's got the draft show tonight at 8. In addition, 8 to 10 tonight, in addition to his clubhouse show as well. Willie P live for the Touchdown Club. Supposed to have Marshall Faulk live for the Charlotte Touchdown Club on the show coming up next. So everybody tune in to that one.
It's a rubbish show.
With Willie. Good work out of Flounder today. The Bone Man as well. Thanks to the V-Man, Jessica Charman. Mike Golick Sr. joined us to talk football on the show today. And also Doug Rice for his great tribute to the late Bruton Smith.
How many guests did we have?
78 guests today. They were all good. We're out of here. Willie P's up next. We will talk draft with you tomorrow, y'all.
That don't cramp.
I want two big men tonight, all right? It's a double eh.
The SS Weasel. Many ladies have called me intriguing over the years, but I have a length issue. I might be naked tomorrow on the show.